Well, hello, and thank you so much for downloading our podcast. My name is Jason. Good morning, Ashley.
Ciao.
And this is Ashley to my left, and together we run, own, and operate La Tavola Marque and Agriturismo Cooking School and beautiful destination here in the foothills of the Pieni Mountains in Piobico.
You might be thinking, who is this? What's going on with this podcast? Yes, we're back. It's been well over a month, I'm sure.
Yes, today is 2 July. It's a gorgeous day here in Italy, and the sun is shining. We are procrastinating. It's 8:29 in the morning. We should have been up and at them and working.
Gaji's down in the garden.
The Godster is down in the garden.
In fact, we're kind of hiding out here. I didn't call down to him because I wanted to be able to get this podcast done before he calls and starts barking for Jason to get down in the garden. So I thought, I'll sneak by, not say anything, and let's try to get this in the can.
It is a very rare occurrence here in the middle of the summer that we have no guests at our house. And this was very smartly planned by Ashley. We just had a wedding here last weekend. And she very, very smartly planned
a little break.
A 48-hour break.
Well, and when we have the whole house full, it's nice when we have to flip it to be able to go through the rooms and check everything and give ourselves a little break, too. So it's good because this is about to become full-on family season time.
Family season starts. So here come all the kids and
broken shit.
Yeah, lots of shit to get broken.
Oh my gosh. The wedding went really well. It was really sweet. One of our neighbors came by with a Vespa, and so they could take some pictures on a Vespa, which I think came out absolutely adorable. And the food was beautiful. You had a great menu. And it was just a total success. 20 people, and
yeah,
it was really,
really
nice.
Really, really 21. Nice. Everyone had a good time, I think, and the weather worked out. And
it was perfect.
It was perfect. We've been getting some – it's nice today. We've been getting some rain intermittently,
yeah.
So it's been really great for the garden. The garden is exploding. The zucca, the squashes, and the pumpkins are just – huge. The tomatoes are doing great.
Because we'll get that rain and it's warm.
Yeah, we get rain and then hot. So we had rain like 2 days ago, and today is going to be hot. So the garden just explodes. It's doing really, really well. Summer's in full swing. We had to go down to the coast yesterday to like the big the store where you get all the bulk stuff for businesses, and that's on the coast. And we had lunch. We had some fish for lunch, and everyone is out at the beach. It was a pack.
No, I was like, it's Tuesday, and look how many people are here.
Really interesting. The first week of June, July, a lot of shops took the week off.
Mm-hmm.
The barber in Piobico, Fusciani went on vacation this week. The Fruttivendolo, the fruit and vegetable stand, mm-hmm. Brother and sister. Are they married?
No, brother and sister.
They're brother and sister, right. So I don't know if that's – I don't know. It just – is that a coincidence, or is the first week of July
– something?
Like just a known – like the 15th of the week of 15th of August.
I don't know. Maybe they're celebrating 4th of July.
So anyway,
he gave me the biggest eye roll.
Yeah, you did get an eye roll on that. So today's Wednesday, right? Today's Wednesday, and it's back to work. People show up, the house is gonna get going, and with all this rain, that means I get to ride, and weed whack to my heart's content.
Yes. Well, since we haven't done a podcast in a while, let's take a few things back, like to the World Cup. I mean, I know it's still going on, but Italy is out. But this year we went into town and watched some of the matches with the locals, and it is a sight. It is so much fun to see how passionate these people get. Chairs go in the air. And we're talking some of the games were starting at midnight, some at 6 o'clock in the afternoon, but all across 2 a.m. And the bars would be open and have TVs outside and all of the chairs set up. And the chairs would go into traffic. And only if like a bus, something really wide came, would the chairs get up and move. Otherwise, the cars would kind of make their way around them. It was just – everyone's there, and it's warm summer night, and it smells like kind of that honeysuckle and jasmine, and you get a beer, and you just cheer along. I didn't care about the game at all, or the match. Sorry, I keep saying game. But it was so much fun. I don't know. It's really cool. That's some of that small town living. I made a short video. It's up on YouTube.
Yeah, I don't care about the games either. All I know is it's 1 month of American football season starts.
I know, but it's like the talk of the town. Like,
of course,
then,
of course.
And
everyone talks about it. I don't.
Everyone gets heated about the Italians, and there's not enough good Italian talent anymore. And
I don't know enough to talk about the game. I just say yes, yes. Like, yeah, we watched. Go
Forza Azzurri.
Yeah, I can't comment. I'm not really into Calcio.
Well, if you want to see a slice of life, check out the YouTube video on the World Cup on our YouTube page for La Tavola Marche. And it's a little 2-minute video of just from young to old, everyone out on the streets watching the games. What else? Oh, well, speaking of that, I'm doing a little web series called Taste of Italy, and all the videos are about 2 minutes and under, and some of them are little snippets from cooking classes that I just kind of taped from the live class of what's going on and spliced together like the crostata video. Others are like the World Cup, a little slice of life like that. Sometimes it'll be something from the garden. I want to do some stuff down there. And so subscribe to our YouTube channel, La Tavola Marche.
There you go. A little update from something that we talked about maybe 2 podcasts ago. We talked about the test that we have to take to renew our permanent visa and to get our citizenship.
Yes.
Well, we just the test we were supposed to take was last Thursday or Friday when we were having the wedding party here and all the stuff was going on. So we talked to the people that we were supposed to talk to, and it turns out yes. Resubmit the whole thing. So we're talking.
We thought we were in.
We thought we were
getting a waiver. Like a.
Yeah, just a get hookup. But
yeah, we thought we were getting the hookup.
That's
kind of the real thing.
so we went up there and we talked to the lady, and it turns out she's from around here and blah, 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 blah. She said, just give me this certificate that you need and I'll see what I can do. And as it turns out, she can't do anything. So,
she don't shit.
Get to start the whole thing over. So today I will resubmit the request for this test. It will take 3 months for them to answer. They will answer and tell me that the test will be in 3 months from the date that they answer. So we're looking at 6 months from the 1st of July.
Six?
Yeah. It was 6 months. Think about it. I did it in January, and our test date was the 20th.
We have to do it before December.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't. I don't know what to tell you.
Oh.
If I do it today, it'll be 6 months. They respond in 3 and tell you that the test will be in 3 months. So if because I did it in January, and they responded in 3 months, and the test was at the end of June.
Oh, I think that then she was saying then we have the grace period between there now and then to get into another test.
Oh, I think you're making stuff up as we go along. Anyway, I'm going to redo it today. We'll see what happens. And this is the wonderful things you get to go through in trying to figure out the bureaucracy of Italy. Is you just keep you have to outlast them. I will never give up. I will not stop until we have this stupid test document that we completed in our hands and our passport. Once we get our passport, it's all over. We're Italian citizens. It'll be so awesome. No more immigration. And we were talking to Ashley's cousin, who is an American who married an Australian. And it's not like Italy is special with how horrible their immigration process is. It's everywhere. I mean, whether it's Australia or for
America.
His wife trying to – they lived in America for a bit. They don't make it easy. Like,
no.
It's not customer service oriented immigration.
This is not Nordstrom's.
No, you can't return a tire and tell him that I bought it here. So, we'll see what happens. I'll do it today. It's on the list of to-dos.
Oh my gosh, that list is getting longer.
Mm-hmm.
What else did we want to talk about? Ooh, also on the to-do list today is Nocino. I got to make some Nocino.
What is Nocino, Ashley?
Funny you should ask, Jason. Nocino is a walnut liquor from the area, from kind of this central Italy area. I know it's made into Tuscany as well, in parts of Umbria. And we make it with the green walnuts while they're young. And the recipe that I use keeps them whole. I know a lot of recipes also, you have to cut them or quarter them.
Why is it called Nocino?
Nocino is for walnut.
What's a walnut?
Noci.
There you go. Okay.
So it's like little walnut, and because they're small and green and little, and you put it in the sun. This is the liquor that I like to call it biblical because it's in the sun for 40 days and 40 nights. So you take these, you know, for every recipe, I think it's 25 walnuts and a clove, like 4 or 5 cloves, vanilla stick, cinnamon stick, or vanilla bean, cinnamon stick, some sugar. And booze, and you put it out in the sun and shake it every so often to incorporate the sugar and keep it out there for the 40 days and 40 nights. Then you bring it in into a cool, warm, dark, cool, dark place for another 30 days. Then you strain it all and you put it away again, and then you don't pour the first glass until Christmas Eve. So, Nocino, it's really good. It's spicy with the cloves and with the cinnamon and vanilla. It has that wintry fall holiday flavor. I love it. So I've got to make that today. I've got it all started. But what else is going on? Oh.
Well, this is July starts festival season. There are festivals going on everywhere, every weekend from here until the middle of September. So
yeah.
A great place to find if you're coming to Marche to find out what festivals are going on where is a site called Marche in Festa. And MarcheInFesta.it. Marche in Festa. And some festivals that are going on at the this weekend here in Marche is there are actually a ton. There's the 30th Festival of Beer in Monte Cassino, and that's in Macerata. That's in southern Marche. Mind you, we will not be able to go to any of these or enjoy any of this.
We are going to the rally. It's Rally di San Marino. I got to look that up.
Next weekend is the Rally of San Marino that always passes. What is Rally? Rally are the crazy cars that look like little two-door hatchbacks. And this is the one where you would see on those scariest like motorsports shows where the people stand like right on the track. And if the car rolls off the track, it kills people. So you don't stand on the outside of the turns. But it's really fun. And they literally, you know, right near our house.
Oh, my
God.
It's so much fun. And then they pass our back road. It's awesome.
It's a great time. So we'll be going to that next weekend. But if you're not going to be right here at our in front of our house, you can go to the Gelato Festival 2014 in Senegalia. And that's in the province of Ancona. It's probably about 20 minutes north of Ancona.
Or about 10 minutes south of Fano.
And I'm sure Maki will be there this week. They will be there this weekend for that. Chena in Bianco in Camerino, and a flash mob and a famous picnic from everywhere in the world. So I don't know what they're going to do. That sounds kind of cool. There's a lavender festival, and that's in Archavia.
Look at the one below it.
What?
Porky's Day.
Porky's Day for Biker's Day. The 18th annual Sagra di Porchetta del Porchetta in Monte San Vito, and that's in the province of Ancona. Sangria Festival.
Concerts, yoga.
Passatelli Festival in Ostra, and that's in Ancona. There are tons. We're talking tons. So
Hoppy Days.
Hoppy Day. Oh, that's
beer. Fest.
So, if you're planning an event, if you're planning on coming to Italy in July, August, tons of festivals. Each region has their own site, probably something like this. So just Google.
If you're not able to make our Thursday pizza nights, there's just, always the Giovedì al Castello in Gradara, which is like the reenactment, which is really cool. So every Thursday they do like the storming of the castle and reenactment and the fireworks and the costumes and whole spectacolo, which I'm sure is worth
and,
it.
And Gradara is a tiny walled town right near San Marino.
Walled
castle town.
Perfectly intact wall.
Yeah, it's maybe 15 minutes from San Marino. It's right off the Adriatic Autostrada that goes right down near Pesaro, between Pesaro and Rimini.
Mm-hmm. Totally worth it. What else? Gosh.
Well, honestly, here's the problem.
I know, this is, I was going to say,
all we do is work, so I mean, there's everyone's been really, our guests have been really cool. There's been no crazy accidents or a crazy
we've incidents. Had some hail, but nothing to really report on.
No crazy weather. It was hot for about 10 days in the mid June. So it was like in the 90s every day. But then it broke, and we have had this sunny 3 days, rainy 1 day weather, which has been great for the garden. I wish we had. This is why it's hard to do a podcast, because do you guys want to hear about all the bathrooms I have to clean today? No.
And he's really not even cleaning. Oh, you are cleaning. You're doing one bathroom today. Or do you want to hear about how the chickens are all still alive, incredibly producing quite nicely, yet every morning at 5:30, a fox comes to the coop and tries to scratch its way in. I find the digging marks. And they squawk box and go crazy. But we were talking to the groom, actually, from the wedding. And he's a podcast listener. Not necessarily. I don't know if they listen to ours. But he likes podcasts in general. And he was saying, you know, why not do some that are shorter? And I think we might do some short ones. What do you think, Jay?
A little 5-minuter?
Yeah, or, yeah, like 5-10 minute, like just a recipe, what's going on, and keep it moving. But just so, like, we can stay in touch. But while it's the summer, it's so hard for us to...
Well, I don't want to be boring either, like exactly. This is it right now. I'm just kidding. Okay, sorry. I got the eyes. Those were not the come hither eyes. We'll talk about this after... Okay, so let's give you guys something that we've been doing here, a recipe we've been doing that is really easy, perfect for this time of year, because stone fruit are here. Stone fruit, peaches, nectarines, plums, those kind of things. And as it gets really hot, you don't want to turn on your oven to make a dessert, make something sweet. So we've been doing poached fruit a lot, and we've been poaching them in white wine. If you don't want to use wine, you can poach in tea. Poaching in tea is really, really nice, because it's a light, subtle flavor that you can then doesn't really change the flavor of the fruit so much. So what do? I cut peaches in half and just kind of with a paring knife, you know, cut them, run the paring knife through them, and you'll feel the knife go onto the pit and go all the way around. And then as you turn both halves in opposite directions, they should separate. Now, if the nut or the pit or the stone, as you call it, doesn't come out easily, if you can't just peel it out, go ahead and take the paring knife on the one half that the stone didn't come out, and score maybe a centimeter in or half an inch in around the pit, so that when you cook them and the peach is cooked, you can just very easily remove the pit. It's pre-cut. Then all you want to do is maybe put
that's better than trying to remove it right then, cut it out.
It depends. Sometimes if you get a spoon and you can get in there and it'll just with a little help can pop out. But what you don't want to do is bruise and mush up the fruit.
Like rip it out
or like put so much force on it that one of your fingers like it started denting the fruit in. Also very important. Sorry, I should have led with this. Yeah, you don't want very ripe fruit. So you don't want soft, you know, nice, soft, ready to like peach that you would eat. I would use ones that are a little bit firmer, kind of on the more towards the hard side, and that would be ripe in a couple of days. And it doesn't matter what you do, whether it's a peach, a nectarine, or a plum, you'll just change the amount of time that it has to cook. So you've got your peach, nectarine, or plum cut in half. You've either scored or removed the stone. Now turn it on the other side and put a little X in the skin, so you can peel the skin really easily on the back. And you're going to put them into a pot or a pan that just fits all the fruit. So if you're doing it for 4 people, you'll do 4 peaches, and you want a pan that just fits the fruit, not a whole lot of space, because if you have a whole lot of space, then you need to have a whole lot more liquid to cover the fruit halfway. And if you're talking about wine, you might need 2-3 bottles of wine if you put them in a giant pot. So put them in a pot or a pan that works just to fit them. And now from here, you want to put in your aromatics or your flavorings, and that can be whatever you want. I usually put in one little tiny sprig of rosemary, a sprig of thyme, a little bit of zest of lemon, a juniper berry. But that's what I'm doing. You guys can do whatever you want. You want a vanilla bean, you want a little cinnamon, you want a lavender, a piece of lavender. It really, really doesn't matter. And then you're going to do your poaching liquid, which is going to be a couple of spoonfuls of sugar and a liquid halfway up the fruit. And that can be either tea, it can be juice, it can be – careful with juice because juice is really sweet usually and it'll change the flavor of the peaches. I use white wine or I'll use rosé or I'll use whatever's around. If I've got half a bottle of white wine and two fingers of red in a bottle somewhere, then I'll just throw them together. The great part about this also is you can poach now as we get in – as stone fruit leave and the apples and the pears come. Now you just do the same thing we're doing now with peaches with pears and change it to a red wine. So you got your liquid halfway up. You got a couple spoonfuls of sugar. You got whatever aromatics you want. And now you're going to take either parchment paper and lay it over the top. Push it into the top so it's touching the fruit, or you could do foil and make a foil lid and just cut slits in it with a knife, or take the lid for the pan and leave it three quarters of the way on. What you want to do is you want to have some lid to catch the humidity and keep it on the fruit, but you want also the liquid to evaporate as it cooks. You're going to bring it up to the boil and lower to a nice medium simmer, and you're going to let them go for peaches and nectarines full size. I do 6 minutes on one side, and then I do another 4 to 6 minutes on the other side. Always start with the cut side down. It's also going to depend on the size of your fruit and the ripeness of your fruit. Just take your paring knife, just like with a potato, and just kind of stick it into the fruit, and you'll feel when it's right, when it's done and when it's not. If you overcook them, they turn into mushy peaches or mushy plums or mushy whatever. So err on the side of a little bit undercooked, and then you can just put them on a plate, remove them from the liquid, put them on a plate, and let them cool either on the counter or you can stick them in the fridge. Then what you do is you have your poaching liquid, and now we're going to reduce our poaching liquid to make the syrup. You're going to
don't drain.
No, don't drain it away. You're going to leave the syrup leave the liquid in the pan or the pot. Now you're going to turn that on. You're going to slowly reduce that down until it coats the back of a spoon. It doesn't have to be thick like syrup, but it can't be watery either. Give it a taste. If it's a little tart, give it a little bit of sugar. Usually I don't make it sweet, the syrup. I just take the tartness off the syrup. So it's usually about another half to one tablespoon of sugar, depending. But the fruit should be sweet. Then let that cool. Strain it through a nice fine mesh strainer. Cut the peaches in quarters, arrange them on the plate, a little whipped cream or mascarpone cream or something creamy with it, and drizzle the syrup over the top, which will now be a nice deep pinky color. Mm-hmm. Absolutely gorgeous.
Gorgeous. It's beautiful.
It's super duper simple. I know I took the long way around explaining it, but really all you're doing is cutting peaches in half, putting some kind of aromatic into the pan, putting liquid halfway up the fruit, a little bit of sugar, bringing up to the boil, lower to the simmer, and then just removing the fruit and reducing that liquid. That is it.
And it is. And I say beautiful, like, it looks so pretty on the plate in the colors, but it's also such a nice way to end a meal in the summer when maybe you've had a big barbecue or something and you want something light, and the idea of a peach pie maybe is too heavy, and this is a really nice alternative.
Absolutely. And super duper easy. Literally, it's a 15-minute thing.
And it's like gluten-free. Oh
my God. Don't even get me started. Oh, here's a good one that I forgot. Okay, so we had the last couple of weeks, we've had a lot of deer activity. Like, we've heard the male deer, he barks at night. It's his mating call. And do you want to do it on the podcast? Yeah. Ashley's really good at it. She sounds like a male roadie.
Ow! Ow! Ow!
It's like, okay, the cats are going crazy. It's not a bark. It's not a, it's weird. It's something, it took us years to figure out what it was.
No, it did not take us years. It was our first winter and we heard it right away. We were like, what the hell?
No one knew what it was.
Yes, we asked Fushiani, those people, everyone we asked immediately. And they were like,
what was it that we didn't know what it was? Oh, was it the owls, the screechy owl?
Yeah, something like
okay,
that.
Anyway,
but whatever.
Sorry.
We found that out right away.
It's a male deer, and that's his mating call to the females. Anyway.
And they bark at dusk and dawn.
Dusk and dawn all the time. And there's a deer male that lives in the hill across the field from us, and there's one that lives behind the field from us. And people go on walks and come back and be like, encountered a boar, survived. It's pretty awesome.
So had a pretty close encounter with a boar last night. So I was walking around and I heard it in the bushes and I was making some noise back and close call.
Or we'll get the, so and I'll, do deers or do boars attack?
Exactly. And I'll be like, so did you hear something? And they're like, yes.
I heard snorting.
And I'll make that noise and I'll say, did it sound something like this? And they're like, exactly. And I'm like, sorry to burst your bubble of your close encounter with a boar. Because everyone, I think a lot of people, like, it's just kind of seems cool and dangerous. But I'm like, there was a horny deer in the bushes nearby. Your story just took a turn.
Also, the deer are in the hills above you. So it sounds like they're right next to you. However, yeah. They're probably 100 meters away, but above.
I mean, sometimes even years later, I'll go outside because I'm like, oh my God, it's got to be right here. Where are you? Where are you?
You in the front yard barking at me? No. It's in the hill.
It echoes right around
here.
Yeah,
there's no sound out here. And if you're above, there's nothing in to obstruct the sound. And it just, sound carries. I can be all the way at the bottom of the garden and Ashley's standing up at the house looking down on the garden. And I can talk in a normal voice.
I'll be like,
Ashley will be like, are you ready for dinner? Like, you don't have to yell. I can hear you just perfectly.
He's like, talk in a regular voice. And I'm like, you mean like this? And he's like, I can hear you. And I'm like, oh my God, that's so weird. And I'm like, I don't really like it. I feel like I should be yelling.
Shocking. Anyway, I'm sorry to say, unfortunately, boar will definitely see you and hear you before you see or ever see or hear them. We've lived out here 7 years. I've seen a boar
a handful of times.
I've seen a boar lots of times at the way far back of a field. You'll be driving by and you'll see a bunch of black or dark objects at the back of a field, and you'll sit there and watch and, oh, they're a boar, but they're, you know, 400-500 meters away all the way. But as far as coming up on one, you probably won't. If you're chomping through the forest or walking down the road, they smell you. They hear you. They're going
the other direction. I mean, they're going to keep an eye on you or whatever, but they're not looking to attack.
No, they want you to stay away. They say the one thing that when the boar will get aggressive is if you corner them with when they have piglets, but you're not going into the woods as far back into the woods where they're going to be living with their piglets. So don't worry. And unfortunately, you probably did not see a boar. But you can go home and tell that story because it's way better than I heard a deer and got freaked out.
Well, yeah. And guests have seen deer or boar in the front yard, you know, from the windows, like you're saying, in the fields and stuff. But thinking that when you were on your walk, that evening stroll.
You'll never get up close enough to hear one rustling in the bushes.
Most likely not.
Oh,
keep that cell phone ready.
Oh, man. Well, it's time to get back at it because people are showing up today. The party is over. It's time I know. It was nice. I swam in the pool. I swam in our own pool.
Jason pushed me in the pool yesterday.
It was awesome. I always want to push
Ashley
in the pool. I
did not even see it coming. And normally I totally am on the lookout for pranks like that, and he was like, oh, how do you think the pool looks? You know, I didn't throw in the robo, the cleaner, yesterday since no one was here for 2 days, and I went to totally look at each
other. She bends over because I'm bending over like trying to really inspect the pool, like look down in there, and she's like, oh, it looks pretty good to me. And I thought, sucker. And she didn't have
all my clothes. I mean, I didn't have like I had Crocs on and like just shorts and a T-shirt. But
yeah,
it was,
no electronics.
No. It was just like I was totally not expecting it. I thought this is hysterical.
Well, enjoy that. So
I know.
Next time we will have this luxury will be the last day of August. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. So the last day of June and the last day of August, we get. Oh, we got off, so not bad.
So the next podcast will be
the last day of August. No. Yeah, probably.
Probably.
All right. So we're going to return to the word of the week, or the word of the week, to the song of the week, because we got a lot of feedback that you guys dig that. So instead of going Italian this week, we're going to go French, because honestly, do you guys speak Italian well enough to understand the words that they're saying?
The big difference? Probably not. And it's still foreign and it's still fun. So, and if the whole idea is also that I was sharing with you guys music from our playlist from cooking classes, then this is one of my faves.
Yeah, I actually really like this. This is from an artist named Zaz, Z-A-Z. It's called Les Passants. It means the passers-by. And I think my French accent was pretty good on that, because if I was saying it in American French, I'd say Les Passants.
Les Passants. That sounds, yep.
Les Passants.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
No, it's a great song. Get her album, especially the first one. It's really fun, and it's that kind of
jazzy.
French jazz pop cafe kind of feel, and really good cooking music or dinner party music. It's great.
Jazzy vocals.
Jazzy vocals. That was from my days at the CTC, Columbia Tower Club.
All right, here we go. Bring it home.
Oh, yeah, bring it home. All right. So thank you guys for listening. We'll try to do another podcast soon, and maybe we'll keep them short and sweet, but just put something out there. Check out our YouTube page and our Taste of Italy web series. Our YouTube page is La Tavola Marche. Our website is latavolamarche.com. Our blog, latavolamarche.blogspot.com. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at La Tavola Marche. And the weird one is Instagram at Ashley Bartner. And how do you spell La Tavola Marche?
LATAVOLAMARCHE.com.
Bravo. Yes, have a great day. Thank you guys for listening.
Hey, thanks so much. You guys really appreciate it. If you like what you hear, please tell a friend and spread the love, and just let them know that this is a podcast that is much more frequent in the wintertime than in the summertime. But however, you can go back and listen to all of our podcasts that we've done and find out who Dr. Gaji is and who what we're talking about.
The gelato shop, the gelato interview.
Yeah, you can find all the cast of characters that we have around here by going back and listening to different podcasts or checking out our blog. And we really appreciate you guys listening and sticking with us. All right, back to work. Here she is, Zaz. Have a wonderful day.
Les passants, passants, je passe mon temps à les regarder penser. Leurs pas pressés dans leur corps les ailes. L'air passé se dévoile dans les pas sans se soucier. Que suspicieuse à l'affût, je perçois le jeu de pan. Leur visage comme des masques me fait l'effet répugnant. Que faire semblant, c'est dans l'air du temps. Passe, passe, passera, la dernière restera. Passe, passe, passera, la dernière restera. L'enfant n'est fait que de fait, le fait est que l'effet se reflète à sa capacité de prendre le fait tel qu'il est, sans se référer à un système de pensée dans sa tête. D'entendre déjà, c'était l'été hier encore, le temps me surprend, semble s'accélérer, les chiffres de mon âge. Passe, passe, passera, la dernière restera. Passe, passe, passera, la dernière restera. Charaya. Chaque mois se joue quand des cycles différents, c'est marrant, c'est remous. Qui m'anime à travers tant d'un état à un autre. J'oscille inexorablement. Par les temps, je cours à l'équilibre. Chaque jugement sur les gens me donne la direction à suivre. Sur ces choses en moi à changer qui m'empêchent d'être libre. Les voix se libèrent et s'exposent dans les vitrines du monde en mouvement. Les corps qui dansent en osmose. L'histoire se confond et s'attire irrésistiblement. Par les temps, je cours à l'expression. Chaque émotion ressentie me donne envie d'exprimer les non-dits. Et que justice soit faite dans nos pauvres vies endormies. Passe, passe, passera, la dernière restera. Passe, passe, passera, la dernière restera. restera. Passe, passe, passera, la dernière restera. Passe, passe, passera, la dernière restera. Passe, passe, passera, la dernière restera.